the preachers are out there, you know, beating the flag. I've got the right way. I know how to do it. I'll save you. Then we've got the prosecutor who's saying, you don't, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation Podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hello, Freedom Nation. It's Jeff here once again with the Freedom Nation podcast, and I am so excited to have Barbara Spector on today. Barbara has spent the last 20 years as a management consultant in her own business, but she spent many years prior to that working in other people's businesses. So this is going to resonate with a couple different parts of our audience. For those of you that are sitting there as cubicle warriors today saying, how do I get out of this mess? She's going to be able to tell you about that and her own story. For those of you who were like me, who built your own beautiful prison called a business, and you built your dream business, and remember, nightmares are dreams too, she's going to talk a little bit about how you kind of redirect your own self. So Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for being here. I'm excited. This is going to be a wonderful opportunity.
I'm excited to hear. Let's kick us off. Why don't you tell us your story? How did you get to where you're at today?
All right. So we're going to go way back, but get into the way back machine. And many years ago, I had just gotten divorced from my first husband, and I'm a very independent human being. And I decided that instead of being taken care of, which is maybe a stupid idea, I was going to make it on my own. And I just didn't quite know where to start. Mm-hmm. So I read this book called What Color Is Your Parachute? Well, okay. Let me go back one second. I was an artist before that.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, I had a college degree and a degree in fine arts, a minor in psych. And when I had to strike out on my own with two young children, I thought, gosh, I'm never going to make it as an artist. Mm-hmm. So what do I do? So I don't know if any of your audience has ever read that book, but we're going to talk about that more as we go through this.
Okay.
And so what the book helps you to do is to rediscover your purpose in being on the planet, basically. And it starts at a very high level. And as you go through the exercises, what falls out of the bottom of the funnel is something practical that you can do in real time, in real life, now.
Okay.
So from an artist and going through this process, what fell out of the bottom of my funnel was, become a management consultant.
Okay.
So I was thinking, I don't want to go back to college. I don't want to do that. So we'll just start at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot of courage to do that. And mm-hmm. I found a job in a small firm, and they were looking for a receptionist, and I became a receptionist in this little firm, right? And within 2 years, I was a junior consultant. And
then, okay, wow.
Yeah. And after that, I said, I'm not making enough money. It's time to move on. And so I started looking for another job, and I opened up I'm from San Francisco, and I opened up the San Francisco Chronicle, which was the only place you could even look for anything. There was no internet back then. And up popped this ad to be a sales trainer for a good-sized firm with offices in L.A. and another one up here. To make a very long story short, I got the job over 200 applicants. And apropos of what you're speaking about here today, what your whole topic is about, it was about doing things differently than what I suspected all the other applicants were going to do. So we had to answer a couple of questions. One was, if we hired you, why should we hire you? And I forget what the other one was, but I ended up doing a gestalt exercise in which I would play myself sitting in one chair. And myself in another chair. And I got the job because all the other applicants were standing behind a podium being very stiff. So that's what launched me in this career of sales training, which I
perfect
today.
Well, and I mean, it's also you're entertaining them. And I mean, that's the main thing when you're a trainer, you're an entertainer as well. And you want to entertain people. Otherwise, it's just boring and you're not getting anything across. So Good on you.
Exactly. And from there, I had a number of other positions in corporate roles. And one of the things that I think some of your audience members can probably relate to about this is that there's an awful lot of abusive leaders out there.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who have no emotional intelligence that are running corporations that don't treat their employees with respect, with courtesy, with dignity. And I had that happen to me two times.
Okay.
And out of that, I started to formulate, I'm not in the right place here. I think I can do better somewhere else. But
yeah.
And somewhere else became opening up my own firm.
Okay.
All right. There's a little.
And that took a lot of guts. I mean, it's just saying, okay, I'm going to quit the safe job and go off and start your own gig. That took a lot of guts.
And I think one of the tricks, it's not even a trick, I think one of the essential traits of that, and I'm not tooting my own horn when I say this, it requires confidence and competence. So I knew I had, well, I was born with too much confidence, actually. I was truly was overconfident, which can lead to making mistakes. And a lot of CEOs and leaders are overconfident because they think their decision is right, right? But you have to have a lot of competence at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I opened up my own company, I had the confidence already there, and I had the competence that had been building over about 10 or 15 years. And the straw that broke the camel's back for me was I was working for a company based out of L.A. I opened up their office here in San Francisco, generated 250 accounts within the first 12 months. And my boss was like a monster. He was just a horrible human being. And that's where I finally said to myself, that's it. I'm done. I can't keep working for people that don't respect my point of view and my opinion. As I had mentioned to you earlier, I had all of the responsibility and none of the authority. And I'm sure there's some folks listening to this that they're scratching their head going, me too.
Yeah. I don't have that either.
And can you imagine if you're very bright and you know what you're talking about and nobody is taking your advice, or they take it and then take the credit for it?
Of course.
All right. So I also noticed that none of the companies I worked for, it was just kind of a common theme going on. None of them knew how to hire people right. They didn't understand because there wasn't enough empathy, for example. They didn't know how to develop people, and they didn't know how to keep them. So I decided that's what I was going to have my company theme be about. And I just launched it. I borrowed 10 grand from my mother.
There you go.
Bless her heart. May she rest in peace. And I just started. And that's how it all began.
That's amazing. So let's talk a little bit about your company now. So you went off, you launched your own management consulting firm. What are the things that your company does?
So there's kind of an underlying focus or theme to everything I do, and I'll get into what I actually do. But what that underlying theme is knowing, helping companies understand what they don't know.
Okay.
Right? Or said another way, helping them, we know it sunk the Titanic. It wasn't the tip of the iceberg. It was what was below it. So what I help companies do is discover what's below the tip of the iceberg, both good and bad.
Okay.
And I do that in a whole variety of ways. I have partnered with a series of companies that have spent a fortune generating or developing what are called assessments and evaluations, online tools that really get down to the heart of the matter. And so I start with those because it opens up the floodgates of everything you need to know about a person, about a company, about a team. And from there, it becomes much easier, instead of it being guesswork, it becomes much easier to be able to pinpoint, here's what we need to be working on now. So the majority of what I do, right now it's in the sales arena. I help sales teams find great people, keep great people, and develop great people. We do that through what I call something called a sales MRI.
Okay.
If you think about going to the doctor and you're not feeling well, we've got to dig down deep to find out what the problem is. You can't just go in and say, well, I've got chest pains. And the doctor goes, well, that must mean you have heart surgery.
Right? Yeah, we need that scan to say, okay, well, let's make sure we understand where all the problems exist.
Precisely. So that's a large part of what we do. And I'm always helping my clients think differently to be able to not be so sure all the time that what they're planned is necessarily the right way.
Okay.
It could be, but it may not be.
Yeah.
So a large part of what I do when I talk about this theme is questioning, how are you thinking this through? How are you thinking about this problem? I mean, Einstein made a statement that I actually have on the bottom of my email. I had to write it down because I sometimes can't remember it. He said, we can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used to create them in the first place.
The funny thing with him is that I quote him a lot is for someone who was very focused on theoretical physics, he was also very broad-based in his approach to everything. He really kind of took in everything and did that, very much like Stephen Hawking. Mm-hmm. They just have that ability to like capture everything and look at it.
Yeah, there's a beautiful thing about the mind of scientists. They never start out by saying they're right because they have to prove it, right? They don't proselytize to others and they don't get on a bandwagon. Mm-hmm. They're curious. They're always looking below the tip of the iceberg, whether it's formula or whatever. And Einstein had that magic as well as Hawkins did. And they all do.
Yeah.
Tyson is another one.
Yeah.
Elder voice Tyson.
Well, I mean, I watched an interview with Elon Musk. I think it was probably about a year ago. I'm not sure if it's still accessible because it was when Tucker Carlson was on Fox. But it was probably, I mean, just to watch him and see how his brain works and the grasp he has on so many things. Because usually it's like, okay, he's kind of an engineering guy, so he's really focused on engineering, but he has an incredible understanding of finance and how everything's connected and all that. So it's, once again, I think the greatest mind of our generation, for sure, along with some of these others.
Absolutely.
Well, great. So let's talk a little bit about your typical client. Who do you work with primarily?
All right. So we work in the SMB space, small, medium-sized businesses. I generally am always starting my conversation with the CEO of a company, sometimes a sales VP, sometimes a VP of HR. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the level where we begin. And for those folks out there who are in sales, what I would say to you is you always want to start high. You never want to start low.
It can be a longer slog going upwards.
Or you'll never get there. And what they have in common is they all are looking for answers that aren't easy to find, aren't easy to discern. Like, why aren't we selling more? Or, you know, why are we selling on price instead of selling value? Or who in our team really isn't gonna cut it? Because we really can't quite put our finger on it. Mm-hmm. A series of questions that when I talk to a CEO or a sales VP, most of the time I say, well, do you think the problem is X? And invariably they will say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they're two steps, three steps removed from the actual working day of that sales organization.
Mm-hmm.
So we're answering all the I don't know questions, which gives them tremendous relief and insight of things that they never thought, we never even thought about. Can I give you an example?
Sure, please.
We have time? All right.
That was going to be my next question, so you just jumped in there.
Perfect. One company had come to us, this is before they decided to buy our products or our solutions, and they said, we think, it was a sales team, and the CEO said, I don't understand why our win rates are so low. And for your people in your audience who don't know what a win rate is, that's the number of opportunities, different companies, prospects, whatever, that ultimately close, the deals close. So their win rates were only 20%, which is really low.
Hmm.
And the CEO said to me, we need training in how to close. We need closing techniques.
Yeah.
And I said, maybe not. I said, should we find out? So we did this diagnostic that we do, this thing I'm calling the sales MRI. And what we found out was it wasn't that they needed training and closing techniques. Their salespeople weren't talking to the decision maker.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
Right. And the way they were asked, they weren't asking good, great, and tough questions. So they never got that those clients to feel a sense of urgency to act now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that made all the difference for them. And then we could do training on how do you reach decision makers and how do we ask compelling questions and like that. And their win rates went up. Within 6 months, their win rates went up to 50%.
Oh, that's outstanding.
It was better. Not great still, but 6 months isn't a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it starting from where was the baseline?
Right, yeah, 20.
20, yeah. I mean, it's well over 100% change.
Right, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, it could be better, but still, I mean, that's a huge move. And it's an easy way that you justify, hey, working with us, we're going to be able to do this kind of work for you.
Exactly, exactly.
Fantastic. Well, so typically, what is a, yeah, you've talked a little bit about this with this company. What's your typical engagement look like? When you're coming into a company, where do you start?
Okay, so we're going to have a discovery meeting with that decision maker to begin with.
Okay.
And one of the things that for me is critical, and I say this to anybody who's out there that is interested in generating business or even getting a job, new job, you've got to be curious. You've got to ask a ton of meaningful questions without having in the back of your mind where you want to end up. Forget okay. about where you want to end up. You've got to be able to listen and be really curious about what the person's saying so that the next thing you ask them is really dovetails what they said before.
Mm-hmm.
So where do they want to be a year from now? And where are they today? Right? And what's it going to take to make to you know create that leap, to create that shift? So from there, we will start with, if we're working with a company that's got all the I don't knows going on, we'll do this diagnostic in which we literally have every single person on the sales team, the sales people, sales leaders, sales managers, take an online questionnaire. It takes about 45 minutes. And that is analyzed and we extrapolate from that the answers to all these 25 questions that this thing that this diagnostic answers.
Okay.
We then go back to the client. It takes us about 3 hours to debrief with the CEO. And in the meantime, as he's going through that, you can see the light bulbs going off.
Mm.
Like, well, no wonder this isn't happening. No wonder that isn't happening. Oh, my goodness, we need help. And they do. And so that generally leads to sales training. And that sales okay. training lasts for about 6 months. It's a blended learning approach where they go online and complete a very entertaining, educational, and interactive module. And then the next week, I get together with the sales leaders in one group and sales people in another group. We have a coaching session around that topic. And that okay. goes on for about 6 months, sometimes for a year. And it makes a huge difference. It makes huge inroads in their ability to be more effective and raise top-line revenue quite a lot.
Perfect. So now, do you typically charge on a per-hour work basis, or is it more of a per-project work basis?
No, it's a project basis.
Okay.
Definitely a project. And it doesn't matter how big the team is.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, a one-person team isn't gonna cut it, but we work with teams as small as 5 people.
Okay.
And teams as large as, not 500, at least 50.
Okay.
It gets a little unwieldy after that.
Yeah, after that. I mean, you've got to have an Anderson Consulting yeah. in there with you, a whole team with you.
Right. Exactly.
Perfect. Well, yeah. That's fantastic. So what do you see as kind of the common traits that you're seeing from different businesses? Because they may not even know that they need you, but what are some of the common things that you see from the outside looking into a lot of companies?
Joe, you're speaking in terms of, so most of the work we're doing is twofold. One is with a sales organization, inside
okay.
an organization.
Yep.
And the other is companies that just, they've got high turnover. They can't figure out who needs to go, who needs to stay, or they don't know why somebody isn't performing. It could be at by the way, in any role, not just in sales.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they performing? That's why these diagnostics and these assessments are so powerful.
Sure.
It really pinpoints it objectively and scientifically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where I would see is the major challenge. A lot of cases is they just can't figure it out. They just said they know something's wrong, but they can't figure out what's wrong. It just doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And I've worked for companies where, you know, although there's a whole management team, one person made all the decisions.
Right.
Yeah. And no matter what the management team did, that person made all the decisions anyhow, or just overrode their decisions. They all ran around chasing their tails, trying to please her and not actually take charge and do their jobs in a lot of cases.
And I have to bring up one other thing that we do. Because I mentioned it earlier in terms of my personal experience. We actually do one-on-one coaching sessions with abusive leaders.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was going to be my next question, because what if the person who brought you in is the major problem in those cases?
I've had that happen sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's a very tough one when they're pointing the finger out there and saying, it's their fault. It's their fault, right? And it's really, they need to be pointing the finger over here. It's a tough one, because what they're doing is they're alienating all their staff and not taking responsibility for the problems, because they're the source of the problems.
Sure.
But if we can get them into this coaching program, we can turn these tough, abusive, could be male or female, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Individuals into really open, honest, empathetic, caring leaders. I call them. We change people from tough and rough to kinder and gentler.
Well, I mean, the reality is, just don't sit there and abuse people and expect them to go above and beyond the call of duty. I mean, it's the most effective people I've ever worked for have been the ones who said, you know what, here's what you need to get done. Get it done. I'm not going to yell at you if you do it wrong. We're just going to figure out what we need to do different next time. And you run with the ball, and I'll be here to try and block for you and get stuff out of the way so that you can do it.
Right. Well, you're the ideal boss then.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but I've had the ideal bosses in my past.
Yeah. And it's interesting. It's all what we've learned from the past. So most of the abusive leaders, every one of them actually, that I've worked with, the problem came from their childhood. Their parents were like that. Either a mother was like that or a father was like that. And for them to survive, they had to get tough.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would...
Yeah.
And so they thought or think, or they had a boss that was like that, and the only way they could survive was to toughen up. And so they learned to think that was the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way. It's a way, and not a very good way.
Yeah, it's a crappy way. But well, and it's a miserable existence to live too. I mean, that's most of the people that I've come across that were like that, they live a miserable life because nobody likes them. I mean, their family doesn't even like them. Mm-hmm. Half the leaders that I've ever worked for that were kind of that person, they're on their third marriage, and you have to start thinking after three, you got to go, maybe it wasn't them. maybe I'm the problem.
After you just that much awareness that they can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, after you've been through your 15th vice president, maybe you need to figure out what you're doing wrong in those situations.
Exactly.
Great. Let's transition and talk about the fast five questions. You ready?
Sure. I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. You wake up in the morning, business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, place to live, food and clothing. What do you do first?
I go back to my famous book, What Color Is Your Parachute?
There we go.
I'm going to recreate it all over again. Another incarnation of Barbara.
Yes. Yeah. What's the next version of Barbara?
Exactly. Because it's what we all had to do during the pandemic, for example.
Yeah.
Because it was totally in the tank.
Mm.
And I didn't go back to the book at that time because I had more than $500.
Sure.
And I just collaborated with some of my colleagues in the same industry. And we figured out how to enhance, how to change, how to do things a slightly different way
that
kept us alive and thriving.
Well, and I mean, it was, I think for people like you, I mean, it was a boon in a lot of cases because it was the forefront of what we see today, where we've got a lot less cohesiveness in an office and a lot more of this kind of work independently. So I think for a lot of y'all, the ones who I've seen survive were the ones that adapted and said, hey, this is not just going to be a year-long thing. It's a complete and marked shift in how companies run today.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And now it's the opposite, though, is okay, we gave them all this freedom and let them work from home in their fuzzy bunny slippers. Now, how do we start to pull them back into the office and not have them quit on you at that point?
And that's when quiet quitting came later, but the great resignation started when companies were insisting on everybody coming back into the office. And then it went to quiet quitting after that.
Yeah.
But seriously, if I had that scenario, I'd go back. I literally would go back to this book and rethink what it is I can do, would want to do, that inspires me, that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really important. And just start over.
I love it. Love it. All right. Second question. What's your biggest business mistake you've ever made?
This is going to sound really strange. So after I graduated from college, I'm an East Coaster originally. And so I moved back to New York and I started looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an opportunity, this kills me every time I think about it, to become the assistant to the curator of the Guggenheim Museum.
Wow.
And I went home to my parents. I was only 21 years old and told them about this. And they said, don't take it. It doesn't make enough money. What did I know? I was 20. Yeah.
Go get a real job. Okay, you do realize the real job could have been curator of the museum after 5 to 10 years. Well, now you can go visit the museum and say, I could have worked here.
Did you know, Mr. Curator, I could have been in your shoes?
Yes, right now I could have. Actually, I would have been in your shoes if I'd have just done it at the time. What's a good book? Now, you've already told us what color is your parachute. What's another good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
Oh, I highly recommend this one. It's called Think Again by, what's his last name? His last name is Adams. I can't remember his first name. It's called Think Again. And it's the whole book is about the power of knowing what you don't know.
Okay.
And it challenges us to get out of, to be able to look and see what our blind spots are. So the reason when we're driving in a car, it has a side mirrors and it has the mirror in the front is so we can see our blind spots. But in reality, in real life, it's very hard to see our blind spots.
Okay.
So this book is phenomenal for anyone who feels stuck, feels like, you know, they know the right thing to do, but everyone else around them is saying, not so sure, right? And it moves a person into more of a mind of, instead of being a, he has this one chapter called, are you a preacher, a prosecutor, or a politician, or are you a scientist?
Hmm.
So the preachers are out there, you know, beating the flag. I've got the right way. I know how to do it. I'll save you. Blah, blah, blah. Then we've got the prosecutor who's saying, you don't, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And then we've got the politician who is kissing your tushy, making you feel good just for the sake of doing that, even though what you're talking about holds no water at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the scientists, just like Einstein and just like Elon Musk and who else we were mentioning, Stephen Hawking, who are analyzing, who are being curious. And he in the book, he enables you to take a look at what all four of those styles are, if you will.
Okay.
And you decide for yourself. It's just great.
I think it's Adam Grant. I just looked it up.
That's it.
Perfect. I'll include a link in our show notes so that people can find that one as well as your other one.
Yeah.
All right. What's a good tool you use in your business every day that you might recommend?
I use something called Seamless.
Okay.
So I need to gather intelligence and information about potential clients or customers that I don't know. And it enables me to understand not only how to find them, what their phone number is, what their email address is, but information about the company that they work for. It's a really nifty tool, and it's really pretty darn accurate. So for anybody that has to generate business, find the right decision makers, and so on, it's Seamless, spelled S-E-A-M-L-E-S-S.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I like that. It's the first time I've heard that one. I'll have to look it up and we'll include a link to their website so you can see it. Okay, last question. What is your definition of freedom?
Ah. I think I wrote this down. It actually is the knowledge. If knowledge is power, then knowing what we don't know is wisdom. So I actually gain freedom from letting go of my preconceived notions,
mm-hmm.
being willing to take on and look at what I don't know. I find that very freeing. A little different than what most people would say.
No, I love that. I love that. It's the, excellent, excellent. This is, so we have a wall of all these quotes like that. So thank you for that. That's a new one for the wall, and it'll be on there. So that is outstanding. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for joining us today. If somebody is interested in learning a little bit more about you, getting in contact, what's the best way?
Okay, I actually created a nifty, easy to remember link.
Okay.
It's, I just forgot it. VIP chat with Barb.
Nice. Yeah. VIPchatwithbarb.com. Love it. All right. Well, we'll put that in the show notes too. So I would encourage you to reach out, get to know her. If you've got a company that needs a little bit of work, she's your guy to come in and help you.
I'm the gal.
Folks, thank you for joining us. This is what we do this for. We love to share people with you and share their stories of how they got to where they're at, to encourage you, to help you, and to give you insights. So thanks a lot, and we will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.